Jeff Bertolite's on the phone. Can't hear me or not?
Yeah, hold on, Jeff. We're having some technical difficulties.
All right.
Yeah, I guess we got the thumbs up from IT. We're ready to roll, Ralph.
Okay. This is the meeting of the airport committee and for August 9th, 2022. And I'm Ralph Busby. I'll be chairing the meeting at the bequest of Jeff Bertolite, who is with us on the phone but unable to attend in person. And having said that, we'll begin with the roll call. I'm Ralph Busby, as I previously stated.
Okay. Cynthia Jacoby, City of Newport liaison.
Dan McRae.
Mark Watkins.
Jim Shaw.
Lance Vanderbeck and Jeff Bertolite's on the phone.
Yeah, I'm on the phone. Thank you.
Okay, next item of business is the approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes or any corrections?
Some didn't see any.
Where are the minutes?
Yeah.
There are no minutes.
If you had them, would you approve them? That's the question.
Sure.
So I understand there are no minutes, so we'll skip that. And discussion items, the BB4A, communication from community development, and I'll give it to you, Lance, for that.
Sure. So hold on a second, so I'm going to read this off my screen. So after the last airport committee meeting, reached out to Derek Tokos with the concerns that the airport committee had about permitting. This was kind of a response that Derek had put together. Also in the packet are all of the information that was sent over by Claire Group for that permitting process and how that rolled out. So at the July 12th, 2022 airport committee meeting, public testimony was provided regarding the permitting process of the City of Newport. City staff notified City Administration. Community Development Director Derek Tokos provided the following email response to Spencer Niebel, City Manager and Airport Director. It says, here is a brief summary. Oh, hold on a second. Susan Painter just came.
Lance, I don't think you have to read that thing verbatim. I think it's available online to anybody that wants it, and we all have a copy in front of us.
My city thing here.
Sure. No, that's fine. We can make this as quick as possible, as if you guys want. So I guess if you, as a committee, have any further discussion or comments that you would like me to send on, I guess now is the time.
Okay. I do, if no one else does. Okay, well, two things come to mind here. I understand what happened and what went on, but it just seems that if the parties would have started talking to each other earlier in the process, it wouldn't have been quite as much agenda involved as there was.
Hey, Ralph, who are the two parties? Is that the city in Leicester or is that the city in Clare?
All of them.
Okay.
Let's say that all the parties. I think if they had more open discussion up front about the issues, and I have one big question. I did a little bit of research and talked to a couple people, and of course this was done under the OSSC code, which is in fact does cover airport hangars and anything non-residential. However, there's two separate sets of code. In the state of Oregon, there's the residential code and there's the OSSC, which covers everything else. That's my understanding. But it's also my understanding that within the residential code, there is coverage of buildings other than residences. And amongst those are any building, including an aircraft hangar, that is 8,000 square feet or less. And had that code been applied in this case, there are some requirements, I don't know how many, that would not have been levied on the applicants. And it could have made a significant cost difference. So if in fact I'm correct, then That may have been an oversight. It may have been intentional. I don't know why, but I would certainly like to know if that in fact is the case, because there are several differences, as I understand it, between the requirements of the two codes.
So, Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
That'd be good to get clarified, and I imagine you'd have to go back to the Claire company or somebody to find that out. But I also, it's also helpful now that for the future person wanting to build a hangar, let's say of similar size, they would be able to identify what they mean by egress light and then have a note in there about the sloping and their other things. And I could see where they probably should require an 18-inch footing where the bearing wall is. But those are things that at least now if our staff can make that available for anybody else so that they can indicate that on their plans, that would probably expedite the permitting process.
Well, that's information that I read in the spreadsheet that Claire provided. As far as I could see, just by glancing through the code and reading their input, it was correct. And of course, that code's available to anybody by just going online, so they can look. But that's why I say a little early communication would help. But like I say, the big issue right here is it in fact true that if you're under 8,000 square feet, some of those things would not have been levied in the first place because it would have used the other code.
So you're asking a question if the 8,000 square feet is the regulatory limit of residential versus commercial?
Is my understanding from what I was told that the limit on the ability to build utility buildings, which does mention, I believe, aircraft hangars, is 8,000 square feet. So that'd be the upper limit of the size. And if it was beyond that, then you would be using the OSSC code.
I can tell you from experience that that's absolutely true.
Well, then we stuck a lot of people with a lot of money that we probably didn't have to. And so there's some liability there on the part of the city, potentially.
Well, potentially, you're right. But the frustration here is we have been trying to develop a business and economic friendly environment for investors that want to come in and invest their hard-earned money into developing a tax-based properties within the city limits. And so we have a little bit of work to do in order to accomplish that, because we want to have a reputation to get these buildings, these new buildings and these new construction, like you did, Dan, thank you, on the tax rolls so we can start receiving revenue to the city. That's why we have these committees, I would hope. So I don't want this, now that he has approval, I want to continue to work with the staff, in particular Derek Tokos, and anybody that has a desire to invest their money into this community to make it an easy and well thought out process where the communication flows, where the investor doesn't have to make several trips of their own time to Claire to get to understand what's going on, because all they want to do is start construction. So I do not want to let this rest, and I want to recommend, now that we have a liaison here for the city council, that she's well aware of the difficulties that some of these investors are facing within the city.
Well, thank you, Mark. And like I said, I may be completely off base on that, but that's what I was told, and based on a little research, I think it's correct. The other thing I understand, I don't know whether Doug Lystra has his permit or not yet. I understand there was a delay in the fire department. Do you know if that's been taken care of?
Yeah, he's got his permit.
Okay. All right, if there's nothing more on that topic, we'll move on to the operations report.
Okay, hold on just a second while I get down to it. All right, the operations report for July 1st through July 31st, 2022. Oregon Airport Managers Association attended the July 13th OAMA board meeting. Agenda included fall conference update, board rotation, 2023 fall conference contract signed, honorary membership and conference fees for interested retirees and committee reports. Crew car, updated Power Auto has signed the MOU with the city of Newport. We will hopefully be getting the replacement crew car sometime this month in August. Power Auto has a replacement crew car for the Crown Vic that was stolen. It is a 2014 Ford Fiesta, and they're willing to work with us on price in exchange for an advertising sticker to be placed on the door for no longer than 24 months. Self-serve FMU update, the part came in for the bonding reel, and that has been fixed. And the FMU parts have arrived from Mascot, and they scheduled to be out here on the 2nd to repair the FMU of August, which is already done. Unfortunately, the sign is not repairable. They'd have to take it and do some stuff with it, but I don't want to spend money on doing that right now while we're trying to potentially get a new FMU. AIP 32 design and obstruction removal has been approved with FAA funding and $150,000 for the design phase of the obstruction removal. That'll be coming to council soon for hopeful approval. Meeting with the FAA, the meeting has been requested by the community development for land use questions with the FAA. Meeting will be scheduled for August when the FAA staff is available. For the budget year for fiscal year 22-23, actually, that should have been 21-22. Sorry. June 2022 ending budget number, amended budget of $953,508. Actual year-to-date activity was $888,146, equals 94.1% actual budget spent. So we came under budget at the airport by 5.99%. Financial statement for council reflects airport revenue of $657,915. Environmental assessment, AIP 29. Final report has been posted to the City of Newport Airport projects page. Next step would be the design and the construction, which the FAA has already approved the $150,000 for that. Operations equipment, on October 21st, in October of 2021, the 20-foot mower deck was sent to Lynn Benton Tractor for servicing of the side that was of the deck that was sagging into the ground. Lynn Benton Tractor relayed that there was no way to fix the support due to rusting of the implement. A discussion was had with city administration of replacing the deck and would be the best option. Due to supply chain issues at the time, the deck was not able to be built until mid-2022. Lynn Benton confirmed the deck delivery for the month of September 2022. On February 22nd, 2022, City Council approved an agreement with Enterprise Fleet Management for the disposition and acquisition of the city's motor pool. Airport operations was one of the first departments to get a new fleet vehicle. A 2022 Toyota RAV4 has replaced the hand-me-down Durango that we received from the fire department. So how we ended on the month of July, we had 626 airplane operations. We pumped 10,344 gallons of fuel. I did add a new chart in on the reports as we go down for it. It's the average gallons per landing sold. Currently, for the month of July, we were at 33.3 gallons sold per landing. On the fiscal year, as you can see, the jet sales for the fiscal year was 8,514. The fiscal year for the 100 low lead was 1,030. For the month of July, we did 68 rental cars, which is a huge number for us, a small staff of three. We did 39 crew cars into town. I have posted the local prices for Jet A within a 65-mile catchment and 100 low lead avgas as well for a 55-mile catchment. Did add some pretty cool pictures on the bottom of the packet. So we had a Falcon 50 owned by the Minnesota Vikings, Ziggy Wilf. Was used as a charter jet, and that came in. That was pretty cool. And then pictures of a full jet apron, Vision Jet, Huey helicopter and a really cool Stamp SB4E.
I have a question real quick for you on the meeting with the FAA. What is that regarding?
That was regarding the McWatkins lease.
No, the item, a meeting has been requested by the City Community Development for the land use question with the FAA. That's in regards to a lease?
To the McWatkins lease out front, yes.
Okay, anybody else have any inputs, questions? Lance, what's the trend in the fuel?
I guess as far as price-wise, going up, going down, well, we're in luck. It's starting to spiral down a little bit. It's been down consistently now for the last two reporting weeks. Previously, it was down and then jumped by like 20 cents, but it's been going down. So hopefully we'll get to do some reprieve at the pump on Wednesday.
Okay, I'll hold off.
Not for you, Ralph. We're going to.
When was the last load you got?
That was the most recent load, I believe, for Avgas. We got, actually, Avgas and Jet A in July. Okay. So, yeah.
So we got quite a bit. Okay. Any other comments? There's no
Ralph, I have one.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Jeff? I guess we're on committee comments now. I had a question not familiar with. We are having jets come in. We're not in hot weather. I'm down here in Orange County. I don't know how those guys handle the power requirements for these jets, if they have to have an air conditioner, they plug them in or whatever they do. And then also we might want to identify a location where someone that if it needed to want maybe rent power, they could have a location where they wouldn't be in the way, but would it might check for the future with PUD might be the best location to have a rentable power station.
Are you referring to a ground power unit for aircraft, Jeff?
Well, kind of a combination. There's also one airplane that flew from Virginia to Oshkosh, 800 miles, and then back. It was an electric airplane. They had to stop several times. But, that's going to be happening more in the future sometime, and they need to stay there for maybe a couple hours. So if we can find a location that, like a Tesla charging station, where would that be, I guess, that just to be ahead of the game?
Well, are you talking about an APU or electric charging station? Those are two entirely different subjects, sir. I mean,
well, yeah, they're two kind of different subjects, but then again, the APUs are lesser all by themselves. Oops, I missed. All by themselves, then they would need power somehow also. I'm not familiar with APUs, but they need a plug-in.
Well, portable APUs are normally powered by Jet A, and of course the bigger jets have APUs on board, and they're self-sufficient in that sense. But I think we're a long ways away on the other subject, although it's good to think about in our planning, where are we going to put a charging station?
Yeah, that's why I just bring it up. I mean, there's got to be we got to find out maybe the best location to put them. They don't have to be nearby, but it would be nice if you're going to have a plane come in and charge and go to lunch and then come back. That would be a benefit for us.
Okay, well, that's something to think about, but I'm sure it's a few years down the road.
Yeah.
Well, we could ask Lance if him and her any of his staff, if any of these corporate jets, and there's been a lot of them, a lot more this year than normal, if they have ever requested an independent power unit, if they stay on a ramp for 3, 4, 5 days. So Lance, has any of these pilots requested anything like that?
We've only had like a couple of requests for a ground power unit, but the price of getting a ground power unit and then what we could potentially make money on it doesn't make sense right now because there's not a lot of demand, but we do have some demand, very limited.
Thanks, Lance. I think you're talking well over $100,000 investment, probably more. Okay, if there's no other comments, we'll bring the meeting to a close. We're adjourned.
That's it. We're good.
Thank you.
That's what happens when your chair is here and keeping everybody on task.